Hello, and welcome to Richard's Roundup for September 2025. Compiled and presented by Richard Foster and issued by Wealden Talking News. The magazine is generously sponsored by The Piano Shop Kent. If you receive this on a USB memory stick sent to you through the post, you will find this magazine is tracked, so you can select each track as you want it, or of course miss it out if there's something you don't want. So I start, as usual, with our contact details. If you need to ring the studio, where you'll get an answering machine, leave your message on that, please, and they'll get back to you. The number there in Heathfield is 01435 862 304. And you would ring that, for instance, if you were going to perhaps be away for a bit and didn't want a particular stick, or if you wanted to recommend a friend, or if you'd got any particular comment about the service in general. That's why you would ring the studio. If you want to ring me about the magazine, my landline number, which again is an answering service, there's no phone attached to it, it's in the cloud. It's an old Kroger number, telephone 01892 653 173. You can also use that number if you want to enter a competition or give me any comments that you want me to have. That's absolutely fine. When we get to the competition slot, when I've set it, I'll give you that number again and also a mobile number that you can contact or text and an email address. I'll give you the email address of the studio if you want to leave a message on email. The email address for that is manager@wealdentalkingnews.org.uk, and Wealden is Wealden. If you need any further spellings, just give me a ring. You can also get this magazine on our website, which again is wealdentalkingnews.org.uk, and it is an accessible website. So if you've got special equipment with a screen reader, you shouldn't have any trouble accessing anything on there, this magazine or any of our other magazines or the news. You can also get this magazine on a podcast, and we have plenty of listeners doing that now all over the world. Welcome. Obviously, I appreciate you're probably not going to want to use any of the phone numbers, but if you do want to get in touch, you're very welcome to either a text or an email, and we'll get to the email in a bit. So, yes, if you want the podcast, or perhaps you've never tried the podcast and you'd like to, if you've got a smart speaker, what I call Lady A, that's A-L-E-X-A, so I haven't set anyone's off by using her name, you can get it by saying Play Magazine Matters, Richard's Roundup. And that way you will get it. If you've heard a bit of a one and then you want to hear the next one when it comes out, you might be wise to say play the latest Richard's Roundup. So that's another way you can get any of our material now. And I think the podcast is great, because it means we've got loads of lovely new listeners. You are all lovely, aren't you? Yes, of course you are. I'm happy to say that this time Amanda will be on, and we'll be talking about three items. So that's three tracks. So you'll hear Amanda's lovely Scottish Aberdeen accent. Well, she says it's a mixture of Aberdeen and Edinburgh, because she went to school in Edinburgh. And of course, that was the first thing I knew about Amanda, was her accent and her voice, which is what I fell in love with. So if you're a new listener, I'm sure you'll fall in love with her too. A lot of people do, quite understandably, because as we say here, she's very bonny. In fact, in Aberdeen, we would say she's uffa bonny, which of course she is. So yes, you'll be hearing Amanda talking about our 50th anniversary celebration and audio description and using a sleeper train. If you're a listener who's had this for very few months, you probably be thinking, well, she's already done a sleeper train. Well, actually, this is, I hope, particularly of interest to our new listeners, but also I know one or two people didn't get that one, and we wouldn't want you to miss out, would we, Amanda? So Amanda will be on talking about that. But before that, it's just my odds and ends, and we start with the competition slot. The competition slot is just a bit of fun. There are no prizes. If you get the answer correct, your name will be mentioned on next month's magazine. If you ring or email and you want me to let you know if your answer is correct, leave your contact details. So obviously, if you send me an email, I'll just reply to your email. If you're ringing or texting and you want me to let you know, then be sure to leave your contact details. Obviously, leave your name so that you can be mentioned. We did once have an entrant who didn't want to be mentioned. That's fine. If you don't, for any reason, want your name mentioned, that's absolutely fine. Just tell me and I'll make sure that I don't mention it, but I'll still know whether you've got it right. So it's just a bit of fun, which people seem to like doing. So I'm keeping it going until I get people contacting me, listeners, saying, oh, I'm fed up with this competition, it's a waste of time, don't do it. I haven't had any yet, but maybe I will now, because the August competition, dear listener, I had no correct answers. So I'll give you the answer to it, and I think when you hear it, you'll say, oh, of course it was that, how could I not have got it? Well, you obviously didn't. Or you did get it and didn't ring, so obviously I can't mention you because you didn't ring or email. Right, the competition for August was, what have these place names in common? So it's not the places, it's the names. The places were Eastbourne, Haywards Heath, Liverpool and Northampton. Well, Eastbourne is in East Sussex, Haywards Heath is in West Sussex, Liverpool is in Merseyside, and Northampton, surprise, surprise, is the county town of Northamptonshire. So, obviously, I did say place names, and that is the whole point. Eastbourne starts and ends with the letter E. Haywards Heath starts and ends with the letter H. Liverpool starts and ends with the letter L, and Northampton starts and ends with the letter N. So, what they have in common is they all have the same letter of the alphabet at the beginning and the end of the place name. So, if you want to, have a go at the September competition. I have to say, this was actually courtesy of a cricket commentator or summariser on the Test Match Special service from the BBC. And Phil Tufnell happened to mention it. And I thought, really? That's an interesting one. So I checked it, and it was correct. And this is a collective noun. I've got a few of these which I'll be doing, not all together, but, you know, spread throughout. So this one, a collective noun, incidentally, is what you call a group. So, for instance, the collective noun for puppies would be a litter of puppies. A collective noun for sheep would be a flock of sheep. So that's the word I'm after. So what is the collective noun for ladybirds? Yes, you did hear me correctly, ladybirds. Now, I don't mind how you get the answer. You can ask somebody, you can ask your smart speaker if you like, although a caution, it might or might not be right. And one of the ones that I shall be setting, my smart speaker got it wrong. And I knew it was wrong. I knew it was something else. So then on a different occasion, I asked for that particular thing and got the same answer, which was correct. And then on another occasion, I asked the one that she'd got wrong, and she then got it right. So you can't always be sure, that the smart speaker will get it right, but I'm sure most of the time it will. As I say, you can just ask a relative or a friend or whoever. It's absolutely not, as if you ring up with the answer, doesn't matter how you got it, you don't have to know it. As long as you ring up with it, your name will get an honourable mention. So what is the collective noun for ladybirds? So to enter the competition, you can either ring the number that was attached to a landline phone, 01892 653 173, or you can text the most popular or most used mobile number is this one, 07717 266 490, and that is a Vodafone number. And dear listener, yes, I was part of the way through it and thought, what is it? What's the rest of that number? I did remember it, so that's all right. So yes, you can do that, or you can email, which is mrrafoster@gmail.com, but there's no dot between the R's at the beginning, so it is notated mrrafoster@gmail.com. And if you have a go at the competition, I hope you enjoy doing so. Thank yous. I'd like to thank everyone involved in getting this magazine circulated. So particularly that's Mike Hollis, who I send the stick to, and he kindly does all the good deeds at the studio to get it onto USB sticks, onto the website, and onto the podcast. And we have Boyd, who was very good. He's very kindly done a lot of work on getting our podcasts so that they all run lovely and smoothly. Thank you very much to Boyd. And then after that, the general thank yous to anyone involved in the copying and of these sticks, to handling all the mail, sorting the labels out, making sure when we can that sticks go where they are supposed to go. And without all of those wonderful people in the organisation, you wouldn't get this magazine. You are all at least as important as I am. I'm just a mouthpiece. So thank you all very much. I really do appreciate all your work. If you are a user of JAWS, which is a screen reader, the price of that is going up. That's not just to get it. It is to maintain it after you've got it. JAWS is a very good screen reader. I don't actually have a computer, so I don't use JAWS, but Amanda certainly does. And the advice that I've got is, yes, there are others out there, but that is possibly the best one. And dear listener, the price has gone up. Well, I have a question which I cannot answer, which was, when was the last price increase? Because there's been an awful lot of hoo-ha about it. Oh, this is terrible. The price has gone up this huge amount. Yeah, but when did it go up? Last year? The year before? The year before that? I don't think so. And that, dear listener, is, I fear, how we have to look at these things. Prices only ever go in one direction, don't they? And that is up. And that is why we have, in the United Kingdom, DLA, Disability Living Allowance, or PIP, Personal Independence Payment, for blind and partially sighted people. And dear listener, you are entitled to it. It is not a charity thing. You are entitled to it. It's been set up. And if you don't claim it, I can't help you with that. But get in touch with somebody in your area if you've got a local society for blind and partially sighted people, or you know somebody in the local authority, maybe in social services or something like that, get them to put you in touch with somebody who can help you to get it, because you are entitled to it, and it is for the increased costs we have as blind people. What I always say is, if you're a sighted person and you want to write something down, you just pick up a pencil or buy a pen, which is, you know, very little money. For a blind person, if you want something to write Braille with, well, the Perkins Brailler, which is the one that I use, which is a very robust and very reliable machine if you look after it. They don't last forever. Nothing mechanical does. I think you'll find that costs about £750. It's a lot of difference. And 'twas ever thus with the things that we need. You know, things to help you able to do stuff in the kitchen or tell the time or all sorts of stuff. You know, we have to do things and have special stuff, and it costs. So that's what the DLA or PIP is for. It's not, as I say, a charitable thing. Please don't be ashamed to ask for it. You are entitled to it. It was set up for your benefit, dear listener, by the John Major government. Yes, we keep being told, don't we, that the Conservatives are stingy and they want to take benefits away. Well, it was John Major, God bless him, and I am a Christian, so I'm saying that and I'm not blaspheming, John Major, who set it up. One of his predecessors, the Labour member, Alf Morris, said, "Oh, we'll never be able to do that. The country can't afford it." Well, when he died, he got loads of eulogies. I didn't send him a eulogy. I thought the reason the country couldn't afford it when you were in mate was because it was badly run and you were in the hands of, well, I better not say, but I think you'll know, won't you? Both the main parties are in the hands of somebody. The Labour Party is still largely in the hands of trade unions, and the Conservative Party is in the hands of big business. But it was a Conservative government that set up, it was that time it was DLA, Disability Living Allowance. So it's not something you should be ashamed of applying for. And if you do, I hope you get it, and I hope you get the right level, because I don't think I have. I think I probably should be on a slightly higher level than I am. And I did mention it a couple of times to people, and I said, can you guarantee if I apply for a higher level that I won't lose it altogether? And they said, oh, I can't guarantee it. It's very unlikely, but I can't guarantee it. Well, rightly or wrongly, I did not take the risk. So actually, we, Amanda, is on a more generous payment of it than I am. And yet our circumstances are exactly the same. So there we are. All as a result of this mentioning it was because Jaws, the screen reader, has gone up. There are cheaper ones. There's a free one, isn't there? Is it to NVDA? And if it's adequate for you, fine. But I wouldn't use it. But there we are. I'm just like that. I want things to work as well as they can. And Jaws is, it's not perfect, none of these things is perfect, but Jaws is at least regularly updated. So there we are. Jaws is going up, and it's nothing to do with eating food. Water shortages. We've certainly got water shortages up in our part of northeast Scotland, and it certainly also applies in a lot of other places, including the area of Sussex, where our studio is. A lot of problems because it's been such a dry summer in so many places. And I was just thinking, I can remember in the 1950s one year when there was a water shortage. I wonder whether it was 1959, because that was a very long, very hot summer, which I certainly remember really well. And I certainly don't know if it was that year or even if it was another one. But I do remember, we used to get this, I do remember a van going round with a loudspeaker on it and a voice, and it kept saying, "Be careful with water, be careful with water."
So yes, all those sort of things you remember as a child. I remember bum bum ba bum bum. What? What's that? Well, that was the ice cream van used to have play that little tune. The one that I heard. There's all sorts of tunes that they play. So yes. Anyway, I'm sure we are all careful with water all the time. I'm sure we all are. But obviously, dear listener, there does come a point, you know, you need it when you need it. So I literally, a day never goes by whether I thank all those marvellous people, particularly in the Victorian era. And I think we're using a lot of their infrastructure even nowadays, who set it up so that you can just turn the tap on and water comes out and it's drinkable. Some people don't like the taste of it. It varies a bit according to where you are, of course. But you can get water out the tap. You can have your wash or a bath or a shower, whatever. And if you're a bath person, I'm a bath person, so don't feel guilty about it. I'm sure you don't have three baths a day. I'm sure you don't. I don't either. But if you like a bath and you don't like a shower, enjoy your bath. Amanda will hear that and she'll say, Richard, you're bad, which of course I am. But no, you know, we are individuals. We like certain things. We like different foods. We like different drinks. We like different, well, anything really, different music. I'm a bath person. Amanda is primarily a shower person, although I have to say, when we're away in the hotel, if it's got a bath rather than a shower, she'll have a bath. Well, yes, I mean, we have both here. There's the ensuite to the bedroom, which has a shower, and I never use that. I hate showers. The water coming down them, it's just a sensation I absolutely detest. Amanda loves it. So enjoy your bath, enjoy your shower, but as the old loudspeaker said, be careful with water. When I was at school, I remember when I was at primary school, one of the songs we used to sing was Leaves in the Autumn Are Falling Down. Well, dear listener, they wouldn't fall up, would they? But yes, leaves in the autumn are falling down. Well, they have almost certainly started in a lot of parts of the country by now. We're certainly getting them here. And I always feel, I know it's autumn when we get to the last night of the proms. So we're getting very close to that as I make this start of the magazine. By the time you get it, the prom season will be well and truly over. And as usual, there's been a lot of stuff that I haven't been at all interested in. Occasionally you get a surprise. There was a late night one and I was in bed and I thought, I'll just try this music. And it was, I'm not sure what it was, where it was from. I think it was South Africa, maybe. I think it probably was. And I thought, just try it, see what it sounds like. It was really lovely. I absolutely enjoyed it. So it's always worth dipping in. But so often, if it's something you're not familiar with, you dip in and then I dip straight out. If it's not got tunes or it just doesn't make a pleasing sound to me, then I just don't bother. And as ever in the proms, there's been a lot of that kind of music, but there has been some wonderful music as well. And as ever, the thing that always, I seem to find it exactly every year as I switch on, I think the technical quality of those proms broadcasts on BBC Radio 3 is absolutely astonishing. At one time, if you went to a prom and then you heard it, perhaps if it was repeated or something, you heard it on the radio and it wasn't as good, they didn't really capture it perfectly. But I think they jolly well do now. It's brilliant. You can hear all the different sections, if it's an orchestral concert or a concerto or anything like that, something with singers in it, and the sound quality, the balance and the clarity and the acoustic is wonderful. I did go to a few proms and I absolutely loved it. It's quite unlike any other kind of concert, because everyone who was there were there for the right reason. They just wanted to enjoy the music. It wasn't, oh, I like to go to that because it's the right thing to do, you know. There's none of that at the proms. And incidentally, a glass of wine in the interval was quite good as well. Not cheap, though, not in London. It wouldn't be, would it? But, yeah, it's all part of it. The last prom that I ever went to was the Bobby McFerrin one with the Vienna Philharmonic in the... what would it have been? Sort of early noughties, I think. I don't think it was the 90s. I think it was the next decade. And, oh, boy, it was absolutely amazing. He got the orchestra singing, even. And I was told that came about because the orchestra approached Bobby McFerrin and said, will you work with us? Well, that's something, isn't it? Because he wasn't primarily a classical musician, but that was so good. And I was reminded of that in a prom earlier this year with the National Youth Orchestra of Great Britain. And after they'd finished playing, the last work was Holst Planets Suite, the choir, which is a female choir, came down and joined the orchestra, and they all sang. It was a song called Feeling Good. I'd never heard it. And it was a wonderful arrangement, and they sang it marvellously. Well, I suppose, you know, if you're a good musician, you're a good musician, and I suppose a lot of musicians do sing. I mean, I used to. Well, I still do. My voice has changed. When I was a boy treble, it was rather weak and very pure. Oh, Richard. Yes, it was. I'm afraid now it's just rather loud and enthusiastic. But I still remember the choral training I had at the blind school, Dalton House School, with Michael Campbell. You have it and you never forget it. And although the old voice has gone off, the technique, I think, is still more or less there. And you will never get me singing Rejoice. No. Rejoice, how's it spell? R-E-J-E. So it's not rejoice, it's rejoice, always. That's how we were trained, and I just do it. And if people don't like it, too bad. And another thing, yeah, I talk about some singers and things. If you want to hear a singer who you can hear absolutely every word, you sample those old John McCormack recordings. I mean, they didn't have posh equipment to record in those days. It was a pre-electric recordings, and you can hear every syllable. Why? Because he enunciates properly. I wish people still did. Oh, and because the particular thing, I'm always saying it, as is Amanda, when they do it, it was like, stop wobbling. Don't like wobbly singers, do we, Amanda? No, Richard. See, she's not here, so I have to answer for her. Do you like wobbly singers, Amanda? No, Richard. They're bauf. They are Balf or Balfen, which is a good word that we use here in Aberdeen. I hope you don't think I'm Balfen, because it means not nice. In a couple of weeks from now, BBC Radio 3 is devoting a day to the modern railway. And the line that they're featuring, obviously it had to include Stockton to Darlington, which a lot of us will remember that from school, and that is now on LNER, London and North East Railway. And so they are doing a whole day, and it's featuring that line from Inverness down to London King's Cross. That's a line Amanda and I use very frequently, not all the way from Inverness, because we don't live as far north as that. We're in Aberdeen. But it's the same line, so we get on at Aberdeen, go all the way down to London King's Cross. And we've done it so regularly and so frequently, a lot of the crews know us now and address us by name, and it's absolutely lovely. And if one of us is coming and not the other one, the manager says, oh, where's Richard? Is he all right? Or I'm, where's Amanda? Is she all right? Yeah, she's fine. She's yes, I'm coming down here, and she's in Edinburgh this week, or this day, or Glasgow, or wherever. And so that often happens, that we go to different places and do stuff, but it's always more fun when we're together, just as it's more fun when we drink a glass of wine together. Doesn't taste the same when it's just you and your partner's not there. So, yeah, I'll let you into a little secret. I had some wine lunchtime. I thought, no, it's not as nice without Amanda. But just so you don't get the wrong idea, it was actually from the day before. Amanda had a complete sort of half bottle, and I'd only had quarter of a bottle because I was doing something later. So I had the rest of it today. No, definitely not as nice without wee Amanda, who you are about to hear. We're going to start by talking about the celebration of Wealden Talking News 50th anniversary. Hello, wee Amanda.
Hello, yes. Richard.
Now, it was a very good thing, wasn't it? It was a lovely celebration. And before I forget, hello, Joyce.
Oh, yes.
Joyce came up to me and I said, I'll say hello to you on the magazine. So.
Oh, that's right. So yes. You've remembered.
I've
that's
remembered.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah, good being able to see some of the listeners that actually came in.
There, yes.
It was lovely.
Loads of volunteers. It was very well attended, wasn't it?
It was.
It was a venue that we have used before at Etchingham. Mm. It's very good, isn't it?
It is.
It's a good size. It was just as well because I think there were about 90 of us there.
Yeah, there were.
That obviously is a little bit of a problem for us at times, isn't it? Because when everyone's talking at the same time, it's quite noisy. But yeah. There you go.
But the acoustics in that place are not too bad, are they?
No, they're not too bad. And I gather that Mike has got a recording, so I think that'll be featured on, I don't know, whether it'll be on the news stick or on one of the Sussex-wide publications. So you should hear some recordings from the event. And it's quite an achievement, isn't it?
It's a brilliant achievement.
1974 it started, and I certainly was receiving the old cassettes in 1974. So I wasn't right at the beginning. I didn't have edition number one, but it was very recently established. Mm-hmm. By the time I started to get it, mm-hmm. and Ted Davis, and shall I admit, Amanda, I misread a word in my script. Instead of cookery, I said comedy.
Ooh.
But when I'd done it, I thought, and then I realised what I'd done. Of course, it would have been much more disruptive if I'd then corrected it. So it was supposed to be cookery, and I said comedy. Actually, I do remember something that you would call comedy. It wasn't probably supposed to be, and I'm to this day I thought that would never go out like that now. It was when it was quite early days, and it was done by Ted and Kathleen Davis, and Ted was reading something about delays to the trains on Saturday, and as soon as it started I thought, excuse me, Ted, we don't actually get this till Monday, so that's not going to be a lot of good. And he started reading it, and then he said, after a bit, he said, I don't think this is very interesting, isn't it? It will have all gone, won't it, by the time you get this, so I don't think we'll carry on reading that bit.
Oh.
that was quite funny.
Yeah, that is quite funny.
Yes, but that wouldn't happen now, would it, Mike and Diane?
Oh, no, they would. They would sort
the other
it all
recording,
out.
Recording engineers, they're all trained in editing and stuff. And
absolutely.
I just think the standard is actually amazing.
It is.
Yeah, a very, very good standard. And I was lovely to see Mary, one of my people, who she said I introduced her to it. I think I probably did. We must have been talking
about it at church.
I think we were. And she went over and they said she was suitable. Yeah, she's a lovely lady. We like Mary. Yes.
But what I liked was, because what Richard is talking about when he's talking about reading, they did a potted history of when the magazine, when the Talking Newspaper, started, yes. And how it sort of progressed to now.
That's it.
And it was really good, because obviously...
Eras, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of things that I didn't know.
No, that's good. Mm-hmm.
You know, so I thought, it's really quite interesting
yes.
the way they did it. And obviously mm-hmm. they had, it was supposed to be, was it the Lord Lieutenant?
Oh, I never know these different
no,
titles.
No, neither do I.
But whoever was supposed to be coming couldn't.
And then
the deputy was going to be coming, and then he couldn't.
He couldn't.
Could he? No. So it was It was very good.
It was a lady.
Yes.
I don't actually remember that name.
Was it Violet?
Violet. Yes. Yeah, that's
yes.
it. Yes. Yeah, that's it. Violet.
Yeah.
And she obviously gave a talk and what have you. It was all really good.
Yes, and there was food, wasn't there?
Sandwiches and cakes. Oh, and, it was. As I say, sandwiches is not Richard's thing.
But you made up for it, didn't you? I knew you would.
Oh,
I did. You like your sandwiches.
Oh, yes, but some sandwiches can be different and a bit not good, but these ones
were
spectacular. Every single one of them.
That's good, yeah.
Salmon and cream cheese and
all
egg. Oh, things that you, I can actually see Richard's nose turning up.
And I think, Amanda, they noted the fact that we actually said in the, when we were talking about it, that you didn't like fruitcake, and I thought, I expect it'll be a fruitcake, because it usually is at least, and it wasn't, was
no,
it?
No. It was absolutely.
Yes.
It was, I think it was a sort of
chocolate fudge.
Chocolate fudge with sort of jam in it. Oh, God, it was absolutely delicious.
Yeah.
Oh, it was absolutely delicious.
Yeah, it was a very good do, and lovely to meet all the different people.
That's one of my favourite bits of these do's.
Yeah,
To see sort of people, because you're always seeing people that you've not met before.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how many of these you go to,
you
always see somebody
that
you've not met.
And the people we never hear, who I always say, they're as important as me. When I said earlier on this magazine, Amanda, I'm just the mouthpiece. As I said, it wasn't for the copiers and the mail sorters and the label sorters and everything like that, you wouldn't get it. So
no.
They're every bit as important as
absolutely they are. Good. Every volunteer is as important as the next one.
Oh, and I confess this now. When I gave the email address for replying, if you want to send a message, I should have said studio@wealdentalkingnews.org.uk, and I didn't say studio. I said manager.
Ooh,
but that's fine. It'll still get there. But
will
I'll try and get it. Oh yes. But I'll try and get it right next time.
that would probably be good, Richard.
But as I always say, and as my dad always used to say, if you haven't ever made a mistake, it's probably because you ain't ever done anything.
Yeah.
So we all make mistakes.
No, I mean he's absolutely right. He's absolutely right.
Just admit it when we do.
We were all put on this earth to make mistakes. Unfortunately,
I think we were. But yes, it was.
It was a really good do.
I'm
hoping that the media are going to.
I hope there'll be something in the paper, because the press was there.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Not that we actually saw them, did we?
No. I mean, I expect they saw us.
Well,
and
sure
of course, there was a photographer and everything.
Oh yes, because we had quite a few photos.
Yes, we did.
Here and there was sort of one with us all together, and quite a few sort of. You know, sitting at our tables. I think somebody's put the photos up as well. But
yes, I think
obviously,
so. I think
I'm not sure how
it's on the website.
I'm not quite sure how.
And hopefully,
they'll be.
Hopefully, we'll get some coverage in the press.
I really hope so, because I think I think the work, you know, that volunteers have done to get
the newspaper
up to where it is now.
Yeah. And of course, a lot of the talking newspapers are going closing because they can't get the volunteers, or they're finding it difficult to get the material to record and stuff, and we're just expanding.
Yep, we're
it's
expanding.
It's a bit like Richard's waistline is expanding. This is great, isn't it? And of course, this magazine now, Richard's Roundup, we have listeners in all sorts of other countries.
We do.
So how much of what we put on will be of particular relevance, I don't know, but we hope you enjoy listening. And
absolutely.
You know, you've now heard Amanda's lovely accent, so hopefully that'll give you some pleasure. Unlike when I'm rambling on, Amanda, they will be hanging on your every word. And we've got some more to come, haven't we?
We have.
Tonight, so you just carry on listening and you'll find out what we're going to talk about next. Now we're going to talk a bit about audio description, which we did do something on it a while back, but actually it is relevant to do it again, because here in Aberdeen, we've just set up a new organisation called Audio Describers Aberdeen, because we want to extend the amount that's done, don't we, Amanda?
We do.
And the different places. So it won't just be in the theatre.
Absolutely.
Well, that's our aim anyway.
That is our aim.
Get it in other places.
I'm sure we will.
I'm sure you will.
It'll take a while, but I'm sure we'll get there. But that is a very exciting thing that we're, doing up here.
But yes, just for... And of course, we've got new listeners since we talked about audio description anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So we just thought it'd be a good idea to do it. Maybe I'll start off by saying what it isn't. It isn't because you go to the theatre and you get given some headphones and you put your headphones on. It isn't just what's happening on the stage. You don't just hear what you would without the headphones, but it's enhanced. Actually coming through your headphones into your ears.
It's not just that.
Well, it can be. In Aberdeen, ours, you can set it like that. Perhaps if it was a musical and there was a song and you didn't want to hear the audio description at that point, you can switch it off, but that's a bit complicated. But generally, you get both, don't you? You get what's on the stage and you get the audio description, which is to fill in the bits that we wouldn't otherwise know, bits that you can't see.
In other words, someone is speaking through a set of headphones. That's what we mean by audio.
Yes.
Not the enhanced sound.
No.
Because actually, I think somebody actually did come up to me once and said, oh, does that mean that the sound gets enhanced? And it's like, well, no.
No.
Why does the sound need to be enhanced?
No.
I didn't actually say that, but I did think.
Yeah.
I thought, you know.
No, it isn't.
But it's not that. It's someone...
tell you, they talk, there's usually a booth, isn't there? Well, that's how we do it here. There's a sort of a booth with
a
microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got somebody who's then telling you what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, there's a lot of preparation, isn't
there? A lot of preparation.
I think some people just think they just rock up on the day and
just chat
to you, describe what's on the stage. And,
oh, no.
Well, that's certainly not how we do it here, is it?
No.
They go to several performances and do a script.
That's right. They go to the first one and just see what it is, see where the gaps are, see all the different things, and then they'll either watch videos of it and see how things go, you know. And then on the Friday, they have a... well, I know in Aberdeen, I'm sure they probably do this in other places as well. They have a sort of a run-through on the Friday, as if it was actually, you know, on the Saturday.
Yes.
So the people just go into the booth, do their bit, and then get a critique done.
Just to make sure
that everything's okay.
And obviously, it's not easy for them because they've got their script, but they do also have to watch what's happening on the stage as well in case there's anything that departs from the script, because it does vary a bit from time to time, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. It departs. Well,
do you remember that once when there was a technical issue?
Yes.
And the performance was stopped, and we were actually able to tell the people around us what was going on.
That's right. That was that was quite funny.
Yeah.
Because I think somebody got stuck.
They got stuck
in sort of mid-floor
or something.
Yeah. I think it was something, it was like they were trying to get out of the, it was like a, I don't know exactly, it was a, you know, but they got stuck in it anyway, and I think they were trying to get out of it, and obviously the
performance had to stop.
So we got told what happened, so we told the people all around us.
This is why there's nothing on stage at the moment, because there's been a problem, and I'll keep you updated, which they did, and then we were told, it now appears to be sorted out, and people are coming back on, so we obviously said
so
that
just,
to people who are around us.
Is that coming on again, guys?
Yeah.
It was quite funny, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
And one time, I think it was this thing called 9 to 5,
mm-hmm.
you know, about sort of, you know, waitresses, you know, working in a cafe, and of course there was that doctor, and of course on the Saturday matinee, and it only happened on the Saturday matinee, one of the waitresses who sort of fell in love with the doctor went in, and they were doing their spiel, you know, what they do, and then suddenly, and we got this for the audio description, the guy decided that it might be a good idea to drop his trousers.
Yes.
And of course the lady was in absolute fits of laughter.
Yes.
Trying very hard to But we would have not known that. So that's why, like you say, you've got to watch the stage as well as
reading your script.
Just in case that something happens. And yeah. I think once somebody was supposed to come on, they came on in the first half, you know, for a bit. Mm-hmm. But I think he was supposed to do more, but he didn't. So, you know, the audio describers had to sort of watch that and sort of think, what's happened to him?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure we did get told what happened, but I can't actually remember.
Yes, I think we did.
I think it was some kind of, either he wasn't feeling very well or something, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's just the kind of things like this, and it's so sort of interesting.
Mm, yeah.
So.
And there again, that's all done by volunteers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's marvellous, really. You don't hear about that on the radio, or usually read it in the newspaper. We get all the bad news, and there's a lot of good things that are happening that you just don't get told about.
Absolutely,
and I think we're lucky because we can actually get more of a sort of a good balance of the things. We know, there's awful stuff, and you've got to be told about that. But there are good things that go on as well. And
absolutely,
the unsung heroes, people call them, don't they?
They do.
They're just there, and they just do it. Just get on with it.
This is it. I mean, and the thing is, I mean, they get their hands dirty. You know, the audio describers, because they sometimes, you know, they'll guide people and they'll just muck in whatever whatever it's needed. So, like you say, they are.
Well, they certainly do here. Heroes. Whether it's the same everywhere, I don't know.
I keep forgetting. Yeah,
they might not always.
They
be
might
the same.
Not always do it here, but they everywhere else. But they do it here.
They certainly do it here, don't they?
Let's put it that way. Yes.
I do know somebody who actually, I don't think she's even ever tried audio description, but she just said, "Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be cut off from people by having headphones on."
So, but you're not, though.
No, you're not, are you?
You don't. You can hear everything that's going on around you.
Yes. Yes.
You don't have to be cut off. You know what I mean. It is unfortunate that in some cases that you do have to wear it headphones, but you have to because you cannot have people hearing the audio description out in the main, because that is going to just put them off. You have to wear headphones. But there will be probably in some cases, you know, times that you'll be able to wear your own, and then that way you can wear ones that you like, that's comfy for you and whatnot.
Mm.
But it's just a thing that you have to just accept.
Yeah.
But it's better that, because, I mean, how many times have you said to me, once we've come back from a play or that, goodness, I wouldn't have understood that had there not been audio description.
Explaining what was happening, yes. And, no, it's very good.
And again, obviously, we mean somebody in a booth telling us what's happening.
Yes.
You know, just so that, because, I mean, I as I say, I have had that. And it's like, no, that's not what audio description is. And I think actually myself and one of the audio describers who I'm working very hard with for this Aberdeen group, we're going to go onto an independent radio station in Aberdeen. You'll know it, Richard, Shmoo.
Oh, yes.
I can't remember what it stands for. No. But we're going to be going onto it at some point and having an interview.
Oh,
so
good.
So that'll be...
Yeah.
So I'm quite looking forward to that.
Yeah.
That'll be nice and exciting.
Yeah.
And we can get this whole thing sort of... off the ground.
Yes.
Once we've got things.
Do you remember there was one that we went to though, where it didn't quite go to plan, and somebody said something about something had happened. We didn't know that, because the audio describer's script was sort of short on a rather vital detail.
Oh yes.
I can't remember who it was.
No.
And what the play was, because we've been to quite a
we've
few.
We've been to quite a few, and it was probably quite a while ago.
Yes, I think
I've got a funny feeling somebody might have died.
Yes, I think somebody died, and
we didn't
realise what had happened. That's right. Yeah.
That was great, but that very rarely happens.
Yes.
You know, and it's really good when you get sort of a real visual point. You know, where you know you really need the audio describer there, because there's so much visual stuff going on. A lot of the time you get that sort of in musicals.
Yes, you do.
You know, and it's so brilliant, because there was a we went to, I think you must have been there, Richard, to Mamma Mia, you know, ABBA thing, and there was a scene while they were doing music. It was a snorkel scene, you know, they were all wearing them and sort of mucking about with them and sort of larking about and doing a bit of dancing and what have you. And my sister, who managed to get to be an audio describer, and she's a damn good one as well.
Yes, she is.
She phoned me up and she says, look, there's this scene. She says, I just want you to, I'm going to describe it just as it is and see which bits you think I should you know, keep and what have you. So she told me all about this. And I was absolutely rolling on the floor laughing because, you know, just as I say, I can't remember all the bits, but they were really sort of farting about with these snorkels and doing, I suppose there probably was bits that we probably couldn't even mention here,
probably, yes,
possibly, but all of a sudden, and I can't remember if it was when I was on the phone, or, well, so my sister, so I says to Fiona, I says, my sister, you need to describe all of that.
Yeah.
That is so good. It is so funny. And so she said, right, okay, we'll do that. And she did. But I came off the phone, and I think about 10 minutes later, I sort of, in my head, I got kind of all emotional. And I thought, what the hell's wrong with you? And I thought, what it was, and it's a bit weird every time I sort of think about it, when I was having this all described to me, it was as if I was watching it.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense to you, Richard?
Yeah.
You know, I know it's I know it's mad.
No,
because I'm never ever going to be able to watch. But that's how and I got really emotional.
Yeah.
And in fact, every time I tell people about this, I get emotional all over again. That is what audio description can absolutely do.
That's it. Yeah. So you it's very good. So we would encourage everyone, you know, if you know there's a performance in your area, give it a go. You might like it. You might not like
you
it.
You might not like it, but see I how you get you it. Like
it's
it.
Worth giving it a go.
It is, and if there's complicated, you know, things on, it really really will help you to understand what's going on.
Yes,
and if there's a funny thing as well, you can laugh along with everybody else.
Otherwise, you wouldn't laugh. They laughing at, but
exactly
the audio description, you know, don't
you know exactly what they're laughing at.
Yes,
you know, and it's so good.
Yeah,
and I like obviously to know about the facial expressions and what have you, and of course with the touch tool as well. If you go, and that is, you know, when you sort of go and look at some of the pops, or the thing that I really like is a clothes.
Yes,
you know, because I like to find out, especially if people have got nice dresses on and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know, I like all that. It's really good. It just gives you that better kind of flavour of exactly what you're doing and what you're looking at. So, like Richard said, I do recommend it.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, if there's anything near you that you find out about,
and obviously, if you go to anything that's got audio description and you want to just phone in and, you know, give us your reaction, that's fine. We won't necessarily have to sort of broadcast it on the magazine or such and such said this, that and the other, because that's probably not what you would want. But if there's anything you want to tell us about how you got on with it, you know, we'd be very, very, very interested. So
absolutely.
Just, let us know if you try it. Let us know if you like it.
And if you can pass it on to other people as well that don't get the magazine.
Yes, exactly. Very good. Well done. Yeah. Thank you. We're now going to have a chat about using a sleeper, which is an overnight train journey. We have done it before, but after we did it, I suddenly thought, it was stuff that I meant to ask you and completely forgot about. So we'll see if we can do a proper job this time.
See if you can do it properly this time, Richard, exactly. Without forgetting.
Right, okay, so if we start off, just tell us a bit about what the train is, because it's not just an ordinary train. You don't just sit in your seat like you do for an ordinary train journey, do you? So describe what happens.
Well, you can. But as it's going overnight, there are what they call cabins. So you can go and when I go, I usually sleep in one of them. They're not very big, but they're fine. They've got bunk beds.
Well, you're not very big. So that's all right. I'm sure there's plenty of room for you.
Yes.
Would there be room enough for me? There would, wouldn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There would.
I'm not huge.
It would be no.
I'm a bit. No. It's about five, nine.
No, you'd be fine.
Yeah, okay.
But there's just we would have to communicate because it is kind of small unless we go into there is a bigger room that I would suggest if you came with me. I think we should go into because it just. But the problem is the little rooms, funnily enough, have the top have a loo inside the room, right. which is a good thing.
You want that, don't you?
You do. So.
Yes.
I mean, the disabled ones have a loo just beside. They're very near the place. But the problem with that is you've got a key that you need to get in.
Yes.
So that's so that's how. And on a normal train, the train manager would tell you every stop on the sleeper because it's the middle of the night. They don't tell you any stops.
Oh, don't they?
No, they don't. Oh. No, they don't tell you any stops.
Oh. Does it actually stop at all the same places? That's what I forgot to say. It does
in Scotland.
Yes.
You know, all
the way that's where Edinburgh. We have a lot of stops, don't we, on our journey from Aberdeen, particularly down to Edinburgh. Then it's just Berwick-upon-Tweed and then Newcastle.
I think we don't stop at them. I'm not quite sure where we stop in England, but I know one of the places is Leeds. One of the places is Watford because you're going.
Oh, really? Because
sort of a different.
So that's a different route, isn't it?
It's a totally different route.
We don't go that way.
The first bit is the same, is it? The first bit's exactly the same.
And it does stop at all of those stations.
It stops at all those stations,
but they're not all announced.
No.
It's a much longer journey, isn't it?
It is.
So how does that work? Does the train just travel much slower?
It does.
Or does it stop and stay in some places for longer?
Well, both actually. All right. It is slower.
Yeah.
But when it gets to Edinburgh, what happens is there's three different sleepers get joined together.
Oh, okay.
There's the Aberdeen one.
Yes.
One that comes from Inverness.
Yes.
And one that comes from a place which is kind of really, really up north, even further up than Inverness, Fort William.
Oh, yes.
You've heard of that place, have you, Richard?
Yes.
Well, that's good. Mm. And what happens is when we all get to Edinburgh, the train gets joined, so it's a big long one and travels, I think, even slower, actually, once it's down to London.
Down to London,
And of course, the same on the way back, you go up to Edinburgh and then split.
Oh, yes. All right, yes.
Well, the separate ways.
Yes, yes. So what kind of times does it work? Obviously, it's overnight, isn't it? And I know the one coming back, does that get in about 7:30?
It does, that's right.
Do you leave London to get that?
Leave at 9:00.
All right. And is it similar on the way down?
It is. But it's 8:00, so...
8:00 in London.
8:00 in London.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. So it's about half past eight to go.
That you go.
And there's also a lounge car that you can go and get some food. During your journey, which is quite nice.
Oh right.
You can just,
yes. I was going to ask you about that. Whether they actually sort of come round and give you stuff in the cabin, or whether you go and get it, or how that works.
Well, they can. They can do both. Mm-hmm. But we usually go to the lounge car because it's a lot easier. Then they can just pour your drinks and all that kind of thing.
Oh, they'll do that for you. Oh, good. Yes.
Yeah, they will. But as I say, I'm actually on a sleeper access group.
Right.
So I sort of tell the people, if they don't do this, that and the next thing, I'll let the people know and what have you. That's why I was down to London this weekend, because I was at one of them, and they are really good. And the other thing it does is, what there is as well is, there's a card in your room that you have to fill out to do with breakfast.
Oh, right, yeah, okay.
So obviously somebody comes in to me and tells me what's the errand.
And you just say what you do want.
Yeah.
So what sort of food would you get? What would you be offered?
Well, you could be offered things like porridge or fruit, sort of this kind of with the kind of fruit mm-hmm. in it. You can get a bacon roll or a vegan bacon roll, mm-hmm. a Lauren sausage roll. You can get a salmon and cream cheese bagel. You can get a Lauren sausage roll, in case I didn't say that, mm-hmm. wasn't sure. And with that, you can get either tea and coffee mm-hmm. or hot chocolate mm-hmm. or some of the other types of teas as well, right. mint tea and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And you also get, or you can get, if you want, an orange or an apple juice.
Oh, yes.
And all these things come in this little wee sort of bag thing with two handles on it. It's kind of, I'm not quite sure what it's made of, but mm-hmm. I think it's sort of, it's a bit like plastic, but it's, mm-hmm. I don't think it's exactly plastic. Mm-hmm. And it all comes in that, but obviously I get the people to do, and if there's any spreading or pouring yes. teas or that, I get. Because sometimes I've had a few sort of where they haven't done it, or somebody's left a really hot cup of tea on the floor beside the door.
Oh, no, that's not good, is it?
No, not really. No. But luckily, this was when I had my friend in the room with me, mm-hmm. and we had to watch that we didn't sort of, flip over the damn thing.
Yes, yeah.
And so we put it in the sink, but then I discovered that there wasn't the milk and the sugar in it. It was a guy that didn't really speak a lot of English,
which didn't help.
Not that I'm being racist, because I'm not racist.
Not at all, but you just have to know about these things.
You do.
And if you're not told, we're not going to know.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I had to leave that, because there was no way, I just couldn't put the milk and sugar in. So I just left it. So now I just ask.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be sort of in the training.
Yes.
That we're going to sort of put together.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
To make it that they will actually put that together and sort of just say to people, ask.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they'll kind of tell you sort of when you're likely to get into London or Aberdeen, mm-hmm. and they'll tell you if it's late.
Yes.
If it's going to be late, they'll sort of tell you, it's going to be half an hour late.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because of such and such and such and such. But mm-hmm. we'll just come and get you once we get to either Aberdeen or London.
Or London, yeah.
Depending on where it is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, I mean, because we book assistance for us, the sleeper, you kind of have to, so that they know.
Yes.
You're disabled and you need a bit of help,
yeah.
a bit of explaining in the rooms and stuff like that.
That's
because
yeah.
especially if you yeah. if you haven't been for a while, yes. or if you're new,
yeah.
then you're going to need to know what the sleeper's like and
yes.
what the room's like and all that kind of thing.
Mm.
But it's a really good way of travelling.
Mm. Mm.
It's really good. I mean, you don't get like a full night sleep.
No,
but it doesn't really matter, because you're kind of relaxed in your bed.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm.
And they come in the morning, at the time you request
with
your breakfast,
right.
and they come to your room with it. It's lovely.
Mm.
It's really good.
Do you get any sort of suite options? Like, for instance, on the train down from the ordinary one that we get in the day, if it's breakfast on the train, you get a pastry. Can you have that on the sleeper or not? A Danish pastry or something
no,
like that?
No, you can't.
But I did notice a little, listeners into a little secret, that when you got back this time, I thought, something on the floor.
Oh, yes, yeah.
A bar of chocky.
Oh, yes. That's right. You get chocky.
When did you get your bar of chocky?
Is that part
of your breakfast? Or?
No, leave it. You get two. They leave it on your bed.
Oh, okay.
So I had two on the Thursday, and then when I was coming back, I had another two.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't eat them. I've put them in the fridge just now.
Yes, yeah.
And you also get two bottles of water.
Yes.
But unfortunately, I can never open the damn things.
No.
So I take them home.
You take them home, then I do it.
And
I've got
the butler does it.
Yes, I've got a gadget
for doing that. And you get to do it. And you also get, which I didn't take this time, earplugs and an eye mask.
Oh.
Yes. But I don't actually use them, to be honest with you. Because I think once everybody's in bed, it's actually really quiet.
Yes.
It's just sort of in the morning when everybody's sort getting of getting up to...
Yes.
You can sometimes hear the children kind of screaming or whatever. Mm. And that's a bit sort of like, oh.
And here, presumably you hear sort of people flushing the toilet and things.
Yes.
Yeah, you hear that. Yes.
Yeah, you do. And apparently the sleeper, I think it was... Oh, yeah, no, it was going to London because I had to, because I wasn't in a room with a toilet. The one at the other end was out of order, so you had to really be quick using the toilet because there was always somebody in the toilet because of the fact that it was out of service.
Yeah.
And there's also a call bell. There's call bells in your room and in the toilet, so that you can call, and somebody will come and sort of, if you need any help. So it's so that's really good that they've got that, so that, you know, because we're thinking about that should possibly be on ScotRail and LNER planes because there's just no way that you can get any help. If you think you're going the right way to the toilet and then you end off not.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that would be better if they had that, like sleepers.
Yes.
And the toilet is, it says door is open. Doors opening, doors closing.
Yeah.
And then it says please lock a door. Then when it says the door is locked.
Yes.
And it's like, that's it. Okay. So that's fine.
That's like the disabled toilets on the ordinary train. Does that? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Some of them still don't. They all should.
They all should. Yes.
They all should. But so that we know. But it's a really brilliant way of travelling. It's really good.
That must have been presumably there wasn't a toilet in your cabin.
Not on the way down to London. There wasn't.
Oh, no.
There was on the way back.
Oh, okay.
Because I had to move because there was a wheelchair.
Oh, yeah.
To be booked in. And if there's that, obviously, and it's quite understandable that the wheelchair person gets priority.
Yes.
But I was actually quite happy because I thought, well, at least I've got a toilet in my room. It's not big. Yeah. It's not big. It's a very small, but at least it's a toilet.
Yeah. Okay.
And there's no worry about sort of, you know, getting
lost. Getting lost in your cabin.
Because I'm in my cabin. No. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's very good.
Mm.
Well, I think we've... given a reasonable account of that, and again, if you use a sleeper, got any particular comments, just let us know, because it would be interesting, because people might not be the same reaction of yours. Oh, I hated it, or the bed was hard or whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Or the train was jiggling about and I couldn't relax.
Which it does a wee bit in some instances.
Yeah.
But that's another thing we want to try and put into the training, to tell people just about all the things, like it jiggles about, like you might sleep or you might not, just things like that, so that people know exactly what they're doing or not doing, as it were. Just so that people who just are on it for the first time, get to know. But if anybody has any questions or does want to go on one, but it's a bit sort of reluctant, you can just get in touch and we'll answer any questions
have. Lovely. Well, thank you very much.
No problem.
When I first met Amanda, I was absolutely amazed at all the volunteering things that you do, and you're doing even more now. So I had this idea that we just sort of chat about what they are, because it was various things. I don't imagine you'll be able to get through all of them, but we'll just sort of give everyone an idea of the sort of thing that you do. So what did you want to start with? What was the first thing that you started volunteering for and going to meetings in Edinburgh and Glasgow and that kind of thing? Would it have been RNIB or was it something else?
No, that was RNIB actually. Oh, yeah. And then, I used to do some sort of transport things, which I would go, to so that we could have fight for accessibility and disabled transport.
Because I know one of the things you do, you went on a ferry, didn't you?
I did.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah, I did, which was really good. I hope I can maybe get involved in doing that again. Sort of that particular thing's folded.
Right.
But I volunteered definitely do a lot of volunteering for the RNIB, and that sort of includes campaigning for lots of different things, such as transport, such as benefits, such as all that. And I'm also on a policy group now called Site Scotland. They're sort of similar to RNIB, but they do slightly sort of different things, and we talk a lot about accessible venues and banking and all this sort of different things. So enjoy that.
And the thing that Clive Lever, who's on various lists, so these touchscreen card machines, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I am.
They are
a bit of a pain, aren't they?
Well, we just can't use them. Not unaided anyway, but some people can't use them even if it's a button, you know, physical buttons, they struggle. So you just need to know what it is, what kind of machines they are, and obviously ask for the help that you need.
And obviously with the banking, you know, there's an awful lot of that, you know, that the banks are closing and we're trying to get something done about that. And you know, so that it's not a case of, oh, well, the bank's closing, but there's nothing we can do.
No.
We don't want any of that.
We're not having that.
We're not having any of that.
No.
So, you know, so it's that kind of thing. So that's that. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, a lot to do with audio description.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm actually the chair of, what's it called? Audio Description Scotland.
Oh, yes.
So that's the whole of Scotland, and we're sort of doing it. And I'm really, really happy to be involved in that.
Mm.
I do a lot of things travelling about, doing things to do with human rights, you know,
which gets a very bad press, and it shouldn't.
It shouldn't, should it?
It's very important, and things that we sort of take for granted, because we've got them, and a lot of countries, people don't have them.
No.
Yeah, and I'm horrified that people are saying, oh, we need to get out of the European one. No, actually, we don't need to get out of the European one. Oh, but it's so bureaucratic and it costs businesses money and all that sort of stuff. But it's important, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, you can't have people being paid sort of £5 an hour because there's nothing to stop businesses doing that. Yeah, you've got that. And you can't have people being forcibly sort of separated from their families and that kind of stuff.
It's
wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And the sort of things that happen with this disability and work is just is awful.
There's just no understanding in so many people. Oh, yeah, these people shouldn't be getting benefits. They should have work. Well, you know, a lot of things disabled people can't do.
Mm.
And it's not just the job. You've got to get to the job. Oh, well, it's all right, because everyone does everything online now. Well, actually, no, that doesn't work for, you know, some places there isn't a signal. Some people will just never be able to manage. Mm-hmm. And if you can, you need a lot of very costly equipment.
You do?
All this stuff about JAWS, the screen reader, going up in price, and people not happy about it. Can you remember? I mean, I think they said, is it going up about 20%? Can you remember when it last went up?
No, I can't actually.
I mean, this is the thing. If it hasn't gone up for 5 years,
and
then it goes up 20% and people whine. Well, it's only 4% a year. That's less than inflation.
I think that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
because I don't think I remember it going up for a while. So I think you're right about that. So it's that kind of thing. And obviously that links to poverty, because obviously if you can't get a job, you're just on the state benefits.
Yes, exactly. So that's another thing, isn't it? Your Poverty Alliance that you're involved
in. Yes, that's right. Yes. The Poverty Alliance.
And you actually got asked to join that, didn't you?
I did.
You were at something else.
And
somebody told you about it and said, we'd love to have you on that. And you said,
because she said that you're making some really sort of good comments, and you seem really passionate, and I'm like, well, actually, yeah, I am.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I joined that. Mm-hmm. So I'm on the my local community council as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And sort of, I'm involved a bit in the health and social care partnerships. I don't know if they do that. I don't know if that's called that in England or not, but it's where the council and the health board, and obviously then an interim sort of integrated joint board, which sees both of them,
right,
you know, which oversees both of them.
Yeah.
So then we sort of join like that. So I'm involved in that and mm-hmm. a few other things to do with that. And I'm also involved in helping a bit of the church.
Yes.
I go to the, what are they called? The ones at Peter, the worship team meetings.
You've been on that for a while.
I've been in that for a while, but now I've taken on the coordinator or convener of another committee that's on there, the Friendship Group.
Yes.
And so it's quite an exciting thing because I'm going to be sort of, you know, I have to go to the what they call the Kirk Sessions and also a coordinator's meeting as well. And I'll have to do quite a lot of other work. So it's very exciting.
Unfortunately, you're really good with the technology, so it's not a problem for you at all, is it?
No.
With your computer and your screen reader.
Absolutely. Yes. And
Which is Jaws.
And I will have to phone them up soon, but I'm waiting till for as long as possible. But I will be phoning them up soon to just to sort of renew my license. So I'll have to do that. But I'm also, and this is new as well, we've got a scheme in Aberdeen where we mentor young people and sort of, you know, give them advice and try and just put them on the right kind of path. And apparently it's been, so far it's really successful. So I've put myself forward for that. Because I'm always sort of talking about how I would like to sort of help young people.
Yes.
Just try and get them to, and also to get them sort of used to disabled people and all that kind of thing.
You do things at the university, don't you?
I help train social workers and nurses.
Yes.
You know, to think about, you know, what it's going to be like when they're client.
Yes.
When you know, you go to clients, you know, and I sort of give them advice like, don't assume that they either can do something or can't, because either way is bad.
Yeah,
I personally think if you assume you can't, you can when you can't, is actually worse. But that's just my opinion, actually. And just things like that, so that the social work, you know, once they actually are trained, you know, they can sort of start thinking, well, okay, yes, we've seen sort of, you know, we've met, you know, sort of users, and this is how sort of they do it. So, so I do that too.
And I think, don't you have a role in selecting people whether they would or wouldn't be suitable
to do
it?
Yes, yes. That's right.
I mean, obviously, Amanda never reveals any personal details, but I know you've had some horrors, haven't you? People who come in with a totally inappropriate attitude.
Absolutely.
And you've had to say, no, I'm sorry, that person just isn't suitable at all.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, somebody was like, because there was this picture about, you know, somebody taking drugs and, you know, they were to sort of see how they would help them. And she says, and she was from Nigeria, and she says, what I would do is I would just tell them that they're a bad person, and if they carry on doing that, they're going to prison.
Yeah.
And I'm like, helpful. And apparently the lecturers, they gasped as well.
Yes.
Obviously, they couldn't make any comment when she was there.
No.
But once she was gone, we definitely said, did.
No.
I says, absolutely not. No way, man. That's just impossible. But we all agreed.
Yes.
And there's some kind of like that as well. You know, it's just like, but it's all very, you know, good, and it's really sort of all kind of interesting, and I just like to, I feel it's my way sort of putting something into society.
Exactly.
You know, that's kind of my way of doing that, and helping the people who, for whatever reason, and there's no judgment at all, isn't able to fight for themselves. Now I'm able. I didn't used to be. I wasn't very confident when I was growing up, but now, you know, I'm starting to get a bit more confident. I'm into Richard.
Oh, well, I hope so. Yeah. When I first met Amanda, I actually said, "You might not get paid for what you do, but you work harder than I do."
And
I mean, it's certainly true now because I'm semi-retired and I don't do
terrific amount of work, just a little bit sometimes. At that time, when we first met, I was
You were full time,
fully occupied with my piano tuning business, and even then I said, no, you work harder than I do,
because
you're always going off and doing stuff and on all kinds of groups.
That's right.
And of course, as time's gone on, you've just joined more and
more. More and more. Mm. That's right. Yeah, I've just joined more and more because I'm on the ScotRail and the LNER forums. The LNER one's a bit hit and miss because they keep just giving you sort of the train tickets the day before, not telling you whether you've got a hotel. And the last time there was a meeting, they wanted us to go down to a meeting when there was a blooming storm.
Yeah.
Remember that storm?
Yes.
I was like, no way. I'm not going down there when there's that.
That's so irresponsible.
It's just so stupid and totally irresponsible.
Yeah, I wonder who came up with that brilliant scheme.
Well, I don't know. Whoever that is.
I presume the meeting didn't happen.
I'm not actually sure whether it did or it didn't.
But you weren't at it.
But I was not at it. Because I says, no.
Was that in London?
It was.
And for goodness sake.
I mean, how absolutely. There was trees down in our area.
Yes.
So even maybe possibly getting to the station
could have been risky
before we even start on the train.
Yeah.
That was so irresponsible. Yeah.
Which is a pity, because actually, from our point of view using it, I think LNER is a really good company.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That is the worst of it.
Yes. Yeah.
Or the best of it, because
they
are a lot better than ScotRail,
you know.
But it's quite sad.
Yeah.
But I really sort of, I'm really enjoying my life, and I just feel that I'm now, just finding different ways of putting something back into society and helping people where I can.
Yeah.
And it's not just because I'm a Christian. You know, that's obviously
you were doing
part
it anyway.
Of it, but I was doing it anyway before
it
anyway. That,
yes.
And I wouldn't, and I don't, and it's kind of my way of, sort of telling people about, communities and helping and stuff like that, without ramming Christianity down people's throats, because the fact is, I had that, and that's what put me off.
What put you off, wasn't it?
For years.
Yes.
And I wish now that I'd became one earlier, but I had been put off so many times that I just thought, I'm not. It's not
that.
For me.
No. But the church that we're concerned with now, the Divana, it's so good, isn't it?
Oh.
They just make everyone so welcome, and they're not judgmental at all.
Not in
there's
the least.
None of this, if you're not exactly like this, then you're bad. It doesn't enter it at all,
Which I have been told.
You've been told.
I've been told I'm going to hell.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a nice person. By somebody at school that wanted to try and force me to go to a club I didn't want to go to.
Go to it, no.
You know, Divana is just brilliant. And that's why I'm so excited that I'm going to be able to help.
Just help, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just so excited. Mm. And the thing is as well, everybody, because we're at church today because it's Sunday.
Yeah.
They were all so pleased of
taking on this
convener job.
Yes, yeah.
And all think I'm going to be so good at it
as well. Yeah, that's really good.
It's so nice. Yeah. And everybody's going to say, no, don't worry, you'll get all the support you.
Yeah, it's good.
You can just ask anybody for help and what have you. And I was even getting that from the minister.
I was going to say, shall we reveal to the listeners that you're very fond of both the ministers.
I am very fond of both of the ministers.
Yes, Peter and David.
David.
Yes.
It's
Church of Scotland, and neither of them is Scottish.
I know, it's a bit weird, isn't it?
Peter is English.
And David is Irish.
Irish, so he is.
Irish, so he is.
Yes.
You actually said that to him once, didn't
you? I said,
you?
Do you say it? And he said, well, actually, when I get back home from where I started in Northern Ireland, he said, I sort of go into it. He said, I don't tend to say it when I'm not there.
That's funny, that.
Yeah.
When he's here, he starts saying it.
Saying it, yeah.
Oh, that is funny.
Oh, it's a lovely day, so it is.
But they're so great, and at the church, and I'm so glad that I'm actually going to be able to sort of, help in a way that I can.
Because exactly.
There's no point in doing the stuff that we can't do, prepare food and stuff like that. I don't do that anyway. No. I've never really liked it. I've never really been practical in that way. I don't know why, but I just haven't.
No.
And I thought, well, if I can do things admin such as, it's the kind of thing that I can do.
And the sort of thing a lot of people don't want to do anyway.
That's right.
So, yeah, it's great.
Absolutely. And of course, I definitely do want to do it. Yeah. I'm like, yes, just take me to it, sort of thing. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I'm so happy. And it's really good that, I sort of can just get to do these things.
Certainly is. I hope you found something interesting and enjoyable on this magazine. We look forward to being with you again next month. Hopefully it'll happen. Until then, from me and Amanda, we will say
goodbye. Goodbye.